Thank you for being a part of our message preached at New Birth Winners Church, right here in the Mother City, Cape Town, South Africa. The message you are about to hear will challenge, inspire, motivate, and build you up to be all that God designed you to be. Stay tuned.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for new wine. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts this morning. Thank you for transforming us into your image and your likeness so that we bring heaven to earth and that your name be glorified and your kingdom be extended and heaven reaches earth through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We may take our seats in the presence of God. That song is so appropriate. How wonderful. Thank you, Sharon. What a blessed song. Thank you to the worship team, to the band. Because we can't pour new wine into old skins, the scripture says, right? And so all the newness that God wants to do in our lives, we have to get rid of the old skins. The old skins is what is holding many of us back from the new wine God wants to pour. That new wine could be new strength, new health, new peace, new family relationships. That new wine could be abundance. That new wine could be increase. That new wine could be so many things. But that new wine can only come into new skins. It won't come into old skins. So when we hear the word of God like we will hear this morning, it gives us the opportunity to take that word and then to ensure that we are renewing ourselves after the likeness and the image of God. Can we say amen to that? Before I get into the word, just two or three things we want to do. Announce and mention. One is that, aren't you blessed with the Wednesday, those who come to the Wednesday Bible studies? Isn't it just amazing? If we're going to give the Lord a hand, let's give the Lord a real good hand clap. If you don't know what it's about, just clap. Just clap. Right, but the Wednesdays is amazing. And the first week, Pastor Tommy shared really well on prayer. And week after that, Chad and Stacy on our five points that we're working on for our vision for the kingdom, the power, and the glory to come in 2019. And then this past week, Junior, sharing from the transactional analysis skills that we had workshopped and learned as the many of the leader team, and how we could use that in our relationships to become more like Christ. Can we say amen to that? But secondly, the word works, and we don't have to make the word work. The word works when our... The word works. You see, when you come into the promised land, you and I are responsible now to get our provisions. God has already made the way. He's already provided, but we are responsible to receive our answers, our provision, and so on. But when you in the wilderness, God just does it for you. God just gives you manna from heaven and quail when you want and water in a rock and everything. When you grow up in Canaan, you're going to use faith, right? And look at this picture. You remember that picture up? This was last Sunday. Remember that? I felt led of the Lord when the youth was up here. Let's just pray over Minister Hein. Well, we prayed. I spoke a word. He called me on Thursday and said, Pastor, please, can we meet? Can we meet urgently? So, all right, let's see how we're going to do this. And we weren't able to meet, so we spoke on the phone. But what had happened, which was unplanned, in the National Council of Provinces this past week, he got appointed into the portfolio of small business services. Isn't God just amazing? Isn't it? I don't know how it works. Does it make me? No, listen, there's a youth and I, man. I think you guys must just put those T-shirts on and join me and pray for people. You know? But it's been led by the Spirit. It's been led by the Spirit, all right? We're led by the Spirit to call him up here. And, I mean, he could have been appointed to combustion, but small business services. And he said, I'd love to be part of the Korean Business Anointing Service next week. God's so good. Amen. You can take that picture off. But that's amazing. So I said to him, it's not a chance. It's not a coincidence. It's God by design. And he said, yes, you prayed for me. And I said, well, praise God. And then... So that was, and then I know many have been so blessed with the testimony of Elder Londi and what God did for her, and she's on her way to Vienna, and that's not meat. And if you don't know where it is, just Google. Okay. She's on her way to Vienna, and isn't that amazing? Just for 4 days, work, of course, but you get to see the world, and that's just beautiful. But I know you were blessed with that testimony. I know you were blessed with Aubrey's testimony. Well, I'm going to just have to exercise restraint and hold and bite my nails a little bit. You've got to wait till next Sunday, because you're going to hear another one, another child in this house that runs in that league. That's like the Champions League of testimonies, right? I mean, every testimony is great, praise God. But you're going to hear another one next week Sunday that came from a dream I had. You know, I don't know about these dreams. I said, Lord, I hope it's not the scripture that says your old man will dream dreams. Doesn't mean I'm getting old. But there are certain people that when I dream about, and it's just amazing that there's just certain people that has a pull on your spirit and you dream and it comes to pass. And I don't know how it works. I mean, dreamt Chad and Stacy's children, we dreamt the baby, and then we dreamt the time, and then it came to pass like that. And with Londi, it was a dream, and then the dream resulted in what I shared with her, and then she laughed, and then it came to pass. Then I had this other dream in November last year, somebody, and you got to just hold your seat for that one, all right? But they got a report this week of something just simply incredible. It offers hope to those that are faithful and saying, God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm working the word. God, I'm doing what I can do. Let me tell you something. It's a type of thing. It has to be only God. Amen. So I pray that what I'm going to share will help us this morning to transform more into this image of Christ. Are we ready? Okay. I want to speak this morning on, I want to break down because we now entering the second part of 2019. And if you see up here, this is what we declare this year to be, the year of the kingdom, the power and the glory of God. We declare that to be this year on the New Year's Eve service. And every single year, what we've declared to be, we've seen it come to pass. And you heard in Elder Londi's report was that she said it is indeed the year of the kingdom, the power and the glory. The 1 year we spoke and we said, not out of a polluted spirit or hatred, because that would never work. We said, out of the word of God, which God says, I'm the God of vengeance. The 1 year we call it the year of vengeance, recompense, and reward. And we started to see how that particular word came to pass and how God has exercised his vengeance on unrighteousness and unrighteous systems. So we know that God is a God who looks after his children, right? Then we also looked at 1 year and we said it was the year of recalibration, and God wanted to get us in order to recalibrate us so that our measurements can produce according to his plan, not our plan, his plan for our lives. And then we saw that come to pass. So to see this word come to pass, this is a weighty year. We don't have to make it come to pass. We have to align our character, our spirit, our hearts with the word of God. And when we do that, then God's kingdom will come in our lives. And God's kingdom is God's way of doing things. God's kingdom is God's government. So the kingdom coming is God's government. God's way of doing things comes in our hearts and our lives, okay? It is also the year of our God's power. And that means that all systems has to give way to his system, right? So let's say if there was a system of oppression that wanted to hold the Taylor family in bondage, that says to give way to God's power. You see, kingdom, power. And then is the year of the glory. And the glory is the heavy weight of God's goodness. And we've seen the glory of God even in the midst of all challenges that is faced in our country, in the economy and everything else. And I want to let you know, I mean, those who read the newspaper, and I do read it to understand and know what's going on, but it's not my source of inspiration or hope. My source is the Word of God. And if you looked at Friday's newspaper, if you just read that and stayed with that and didn't have devotion time and word time, you'd be depressed, because it says, it speaks about how South Africans are now at such a dire straits in terms of finances and debt, so much so that borrowing used to be for consumption on self and things, and now borrowing is for food, okay? And people are borrowing just to buy groceries and food, and they ran some stats from Pick and Pay and everywhere else where shopping is primarily done for food, and amount of it being purchased on cards, credit cards, not debit cards, then we're starting to understand that The picture outside looks gloomy, but thank God that, you see, when you are in the kingdom of God, you are deployed from another government and another system into this system. And the kingdom superimposes the systems in earth. Oh, where's the scripture? The kingdoms of our God will become the kingdoms of this, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God, and His Christ will reign forevermore. So the kingdom coming is not a nice thing to have. It's a necessity, because God don't want you to just have 20 or 30,000 rand a month so you can live. That's selfish. God don't want you to be selfish, because God wants you to be blessed, to be a blessing. God wants you to be a blessing to the families of the earth. God wants you to be able to have so much more that you can give out, and you can become God's distribution center. So we must get rid of the survival mentality, and I just need enough to get through my family and pay our debts and love and all that. That's a wrong mentality. Come to this church, we're teaching you to change that mindset. You say amen to that, right? And how God does it, He just does it. Because I was listening to Gentis and Franklin yesterday, and he was saying, we preached from. He said we preached to, and now we preach from. He said him and his wife, they preached in their early days to prosperity without having much. But they preached prosperity. They didn't have much. He says now we look back and we preach from, because God's given us more than we need. He said we preach. He said with my kids, he's 56. He said 10 years ago he was concerned about his kids being out on a Saturday night. If he gets a call, were they in a crash, were they in this, were they in that, and oh God, he's a pastor and all of that. He said he used to have bags under his eyes, not from reading the Bible, but from just waiting up all night and praying and waiting to hear the phone until they get home. He says we preach too, because we were telling everybody else about how to get your families in order. And he says, but now we preach from. They all marry, they all love the Lord, they're all serving God. So if you say, well, how can Junior tell us about I'm okay, you're okay? Because he's speaking to, but he will speak from. Amen to that. You see? So I remember Papa Hagen preaching the book written, God, Biblical Keys to Financial Prosperity. He wrote that book in the midst of his car's tires wearing out, and people mocked at him and said, how can you preach prosperity? Look at your vehicle, look at your car, look at this and that. It was preaching to his, but then there came a time where it was from. It built Rhema. So God is not asking us to speak or proclaim things on the basis of our condition. He's asking us to proclaim things on the basis of His word and believe what He says. Amen. Amen. So we mustn't alter that. That's a trap of the enemy. He wants you to alter your dream, alter your vision, look at your condition and say, well, you're finished. No, you're not finished. You're just getting started, because you will look and say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. That's the God we serve. Amen. Praise God. And so this morning, I want to speak. One of the things I said at New Year's Eve was, I said this prophetically, and why? Why? Why must we say? Why do we say? Why do we have to say things? Why do we have to say that over Minister Hein? Why do we have to say over the people? Because number six, I don't have the time for that this morning, in this morning service. Also, we keep you here the whole day, like 5 hours. We don't keep you for 5 hours. But the scripture says in number six, this is how, he says, Moses, this is how you bless the people. Say. So you got to say it. So all throughout Deuteronomy, Moses got the principle. He kept saying that over the people. He kept saying, you blessed, you increasing. Because without saying it, the people can't receive it. It's called the spoken word, right? And so I'm saying the things, and I said this in New Year's Eve. I said, whichever pit you are thrown into in 2019, God has placed a trampoline already for you in that pit. And how many of you know, with 6 months of the year gone, there's been some pits. There's been some things you never planned for. There's been some low points. It's been there. And if you've gone through one, you can't say, oh God, why did God, is God off his throne? No, he's on his throne. What happened was, you were thrown into a pit, but the Lord spoke a word and said, there's going to be a pit. But in that pit, there's not one person who's sitting here and said, I don't have sufficiency, I don't have food, I don't have shelter, I don't have... God comes through, He puts a trampoline, but guess what? You're going to come higher out of that pit. Before this year is over, you will come out higher from that pit, because the Lord does nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets, and then it's spoken. So we speak in that, amen. Right, and so we're going to speak this morning specifically on that, on these couple of weeks on those pits, all right? And the trampoline, you're going to be, you're coming out of your pit, you're getting new wine. I want to talk, and one of those 5 points was associations. Remember that? Yes. Right, and unhealthy. I want to talk this morning around unhealthy relationships. And before I talk about that, I just felt the Holy Ghost now just prompted me. You know, this is the thing about being in a Holy Spirit church. We want to preach with a timer to finish like a soccer match on time. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, He just speaks. And we you pray in tongues and you hear Him. Amen? So, now that's not what the Holy Spirit said. This is not my common sense first. My common sense is congratulations to Chad and all of our New Birth Winners Church soccer team. They have won the second division, right? Division 2 of the church league. It's their first year competing in the league. How many teams? 12 teams. And they've won it with 2 games to go. With 2 games to go. Unassailable lead. Amen. Come here quickly. Who plays in the team? Who's here from the team? Now, playing means you played at least 3 games. Just stand. Don't come. Playing means you played 3 games. Who's there? There's Gerald over there. There's Chad. There's Dalen over there. Where's Curtis? He's somewhere here. There's Bradley. So 3 games means you play, right? So praise God. We are proud of you. Some of the other guys aren't here. But you just flying that flag for New Birth Winners Church greatly. And I think it's a sign in the natural. That by the end of the year, if you're not on top of the league, you're going to finish this year before it's over with all your stuff to show. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You're proud. So now, you know, after we got you to stand, you got to go win the first division, not compete there. Right. That was now just common sense. Now the Holy Spirit is reminding me. Don't ever say that God showed you who, if you're unmarried, who you must marry. You can't say God promised you. Now that's another message that I'm preaching in another conference soon, so I don't want to get on that now, but the Holy Spirit is showing something. If God told you you're going to marry someone, God will tell that person. If God told Jack he's going to marry Sue, God won't only tell Jack, He'll tell Sue. That's for someone. Amen. Right? And that's from the Holy Spirit. All right, so this morning we said on how to come out of that pit. And I'm specifically speaking on unhealthy relationships, which is one of our points in the 5 points for the year. And this is my subtitle this morning, Escaping the People Pleaser Trap. And I'm preaching more to me than I am to you. So it's for me too. Amen. Escaping the People Pleaser Trap. Right? Colossians 1 verse 10, if we can please have that up. Colossians 1 verse 10, this is what the scripture says. It says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, fully pleasing Him. You may want to circle that, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, we just go back. All right, could you kindly give me that in the New Living Translation, please? Let's show that to the church. I want you to, if you've got NLT, that's wonderful. If not, it's coming up. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Let's keep it there. Now, you see, please the Lord. When you please the Lord, your life produces fruit. Good fruit. When you try to please people, your life is going to be absent from good fruit. Or absent of good fruit. Right. So, unhealthy relationships, escaping the people pleaser trap. There's something called the addiction approval. Okay. The root of pleasing people comes from insecurity. When you are insecure in yourself, you always try to make it up by over-pleasing people. When a person is secure in who they are, You do not look for people's approval. You look for God's approval. And when you know who you are, you don't need anyone to validate you. God validates you. So the root cause of pleasing people comes from having insecurity in oneself. And that needs to be healed. And it gets healed by the word of God, like it's been preached this morning. And it gets healed by counseling. And it gets healed by prayer. And it does take some work. But the root of addiction or approval addiction, like I must have the approval of this one and that one. That approval, to keep the scripture up, is people-pleasing, and people-pleasing will not produce the good kind of fruit that Paul is talking about in Colossians 1 verse 10. So before you seek man's approval, you must ensure you got God's approval, and you must seek to please God first. Okay. Amen? All right. This is one of the most common destroyers of happiness. Addiction, approval addiction, is one of the most common prevalent destroyers of happiness. Most people aren't happy because they're always trying to please everybody. All right. Now, if you don't learn how to not be a people pleaser, and thank God we're teaching you in church this morning how to not be a people pleaser. If you don't learn how to not be a people pleaser, you will miss God's plan for your life. Ouch. Aina, if you don't learn how not to be a people pleaser, you will miss God's plan for your life. Your life will be the outcome of what people want for you. And your life must not be the outcome of what people want for you, because people want often what is from their selfish perspectives and selfish desires. So when you please God first, then you won't miss God's plan for your life. Amen. Okay? If you are a people pleaser, you will miss happiness and joy in your life. Some of you are missing happiness and joy in your life because you always seek out the approval of somebody. Okay? If you never got that approval from your dad, then you're looking for that approval from someone. If you never got it from your mom, you're looking for that approval. If you never got it from your siblings, you're looking for that from every peer and everybody else, and you're not going to find it. It's not going to be sustainable. It's going to rob you of God's best for your life. Seek God first and seek God's approval first. Don't even seek the approval of your children first. Seek the approval of God first. Okay, because all you're going to do is you're going to get bent out of shape. You're going to get out of God's plan for your life, trying to please everybody. If we don't learn how not to be a people pleaser, you will miss key relationships in your life. You are trying to please people, maintaining certain relationships, and all the while, you can't get God's plan of relationships for your life. Oh, because what they're going to think about me, if this and that. No, it's not about what they're going to think about me. It's about what does God think. Okay, if we don't learn how not to be a people pleaser, then we are either on our way to a shipwreck or we've already had one. So the scripture says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. How you live must please the Lord. How I spend my day must please the Lord, not what will sister so-and-so think and brother so-and-so. No, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so got their own issues. You must please the Lord first. Amen. Doesn't matter what they... Listen, I learned this growing up. I was 16 or 17 and I heard Tim Story preach a message one day, and he said this. He said, God's opinion of me makes man's opinion irrelevant. Amen. Amen. God's opinion of you makes man's opinion irrelevant. Stop fearing the disapproval of other people. Stop fearing what other people think of your life. Now, Pastor, what's this got to do with faith? Everything. Everything, because unhealthy relationships and the people-pleasing trap will hinder your faith and you won't receive anything from God. So stop fearing this disapproval of the people. Stop fearing what people think of your life. Amen. Now listen, as we were all raised differently, because you must understand, that's why I said this morning, don't hold people to a standard you can't live yourself. Don't hold people to your standard, hold people to God's, hold yourself to God's standard, that's it. And just be patient with people as they come along, because not everybody sees life the same way. And growing up has taught me, you see, here's the thing, the person I am today is not the person I was 9 years ago. I'm not the person I was 8 years ago. Listen, when someone sees you, Cornelius had that one day on his profile. It was beautiful. He had this cartoon that said, I think it was this worm looked at this butterfly and said, oh, you've changed. And he said, of course, we're meant to change. Okay, so you're meant to grow up. The problem is if you take long to grow up, you're going to be devoid of God's plan for your life. What God has for you, if you take long to grow up, you're just going to, you know, it's cute when a baby has a bottle. But you know, when you're big and you got a bottle, it doesn't look so cute anymore. So we were all raised, we must grow up. We were all raised differently. Why am I saying that? No, I'm not being mean or hard. I want what God wants for you. God wants the best for your life. And the best for your life is, sometimes we don't get our inheritance and our stuff and our answers and that because we don't grow up. And God wants us to grow up. Can we say amen to that? So we were all raised differently and we experienced love and care in different ways. The way you love your children is not how other people love their children, and that doesn't mean they're wrong. Right? My mom's language of love was acts of service. So to demonstrate the love to us in our growing up days wasn't as much hugs and putting butterfly scriptures in our lunch and all that, no. But she would cook for us and do things for us and make sure we look neat and our clothes are ironed and everything and we go to school right then. So her language of love was an act of service, and there's nothing wrong with that. So don't hold people and say, oh yeah, so and so, don't hug them. No. You just need to understand that you got a different language of love. And everyone loves their children. Right, and so we love our children differently. We love our parents differently. Okay, and so the best we can do is the best we can do. And don't hold anyone to your own standard. Hold people to this. Hold yourself to God's word. You say amen to that? Amen. So we were all raised differently and we experienced love and care in different ways. All of us experienced love in different ways. We experienced care in different ways. Okay, your language of love, there's a wonderful book by Gary Chapman called The Five Languages of Love. I recommend it to most of the couples who got married in our church because people have different love languages, acts of service, gifts, words, touch, affection. So let people be who they are. And that comes from DNA and it also comes from exposure. Your language of love and care is not necessarily the next person, so always respect the level at which people are. Okay, that's fine. 5 more minutes, I'll be done. Like I will. Right, I don't want, so personally, and I was thinking about this, right, I don't want people to baby me, because to baby me, I feel disrespected. I don't like when people feel me too sorry for anything. So I know other people want that. They want, Grant. I know, you understand, right? That's his deal. And if that works for him, I must love him in that way. I'm serving Grant to love him in that way. But Chad is not a touchy-feely guy. Look at him. Amen. If you go love Chad like you love Grant, Chad will think you're funny. So it doesn't mean, oh, he doesn't know love. No, he knows love the way he knows love, and that's fine. Right? So the point is, you respect and honor people when you understand their boundaries in their space and you love them in what matters to them, not to you. Don't overcare for people. I love care, we all do, but I don't like overcare. It disrespects me. I bet it's the same with Chad. You don't want overcare, shame. No, just, I'm praying for you, and that's good enough for him. Some of us just need, I'm praying for you, and that's okay. Not, I'm praying for you, and I want to check on you, and then, listen, if that's your deal, don't hold someone to that standard. And if your deal is just space and distance, and someone else needs extra attention, then give them the extra attention, because that respects them. Good preaching, Pastor. Good preaching. Amen. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. I don't want people to baby me. I don't want people to cross my boundaries or to smother me with sympathy or over communication. Good preaching, sister. Amen. Good. Right? I don't want people to smother me with over communication because I feel disrespected. I like my space, and if you're saying to me, you're praying for me, that's great. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Right. If I face a challenge in mine or my family members' lives, listen, I found this to be true. And we're speaking about unhealthy relationships, escaping the people-pleasing trap. So to please people, Chad has now got to become Grant. He shouldn't. He should be Chad. I should be me. Junior should be him. Sipokazi should be her. So don't try to please people and alter who you are. All you're going to do is you're going to be very frustrated and dissatisfied. If I face a challenge in mine or my family members' lives, you see, many hide, and you know the Christian world is an amazing world because and this is not now about provinces and all that, but you know when I lived in Durban, they used to like to use this term, just so we know. So, and I remember that, like, no, I just asked, just so we know. But why do you need to know? If I don't tell you, don't need to know. Yeah. I don't get it. All right. Brother Louis, you get it? Brother Louis and Verna gets it. They know, so ask them, all right? They used to like that. Oh, we just so we know. No, you don't need to know. If I tell you, you need to know. Amen. Now, don't say why we're picking on Durban. I told you the whole Bible is full of Cape Town. Look here. Look. See? Take it. Take it, bro. Take it. The whole King James is full of look. Hallelujah. So we're just helping Durban a little bit to get on our map here this morning. So I know we got some followers. I was telling Chad I met a elder in a church, from a church at the airport, who said, oh, you know, brother, I see you have this preaching competition there in your church. You know, one must never make light of the pulpit of God. I said, brother, you need to buy a milkshake with lots of sweets and Oreos on it, and I can maybe buy it from you. He looked at me, and I said, because you must understand, we are not validating or saying. I said the word preach means to proclaim, and we're simply saying people who's full of the word, we're going to give you a word, and come and proclaim what you got. Get over your religion. Amen? Glory to God. So don't be surprised if you see a thing that calls me a New Age faith preacher. That's okay. I know I am. But anyway, the point is, if I face a challenge in one of my family's life, I said, yeah, many hide, and in the church, so in the world it would be, just so we need to know. In the church, we like to use this term, I needed to know so I can pray. If you need to know so you can pray, the Holy Ghost will show you. My reference, the Holy Spirit, Gloria Copeland. I read the book 3-4 times in preparation for this. If I need to know what to, okay, people will tell their pastor something, say it's a different relationship with your pastor because you'll say pastor. But I'll make an example. So Carden is going through something, and now Mo knows Carden is going through something. So he wants to know because he needs to tell Lorraine, you see. So now, because he don't need to know, Lorraine needs to know. It's an example. So now, you see, Mo doesn't care. But Lorraine says, did you ask? Karen. Don't forget to ask Karen. No, I'm a pastor. I know how people's relationships work. So now, Mo has to check. Karen, I need to know just so we can pray. Let the Holy Ghost show you. Let me tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Something. John 14:26. Put that up, please, Candace. John 14:26. Look at what the scripture says. The scripture says, but when the Father sends the advocate, the Holy Spirit is called the advocate, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, and I will remind you of everything I told you. If Mo really needs to know what Karen's going through to pray for her, then the Holy Spirit will tell Mo, and if Karen wants Mo to know, Karen will tell Mo or tell Lorraine. Please, can you pray in that matter? So if you weren't asked, don't ask. And if you're going to do that, people in this church are going to start to ask you, where do you go to church? Didn't you hear the word? Amen. Listen, can you give me the next one? John 10:13, please. John 16:13. Yeah, when the Spirit of Truth comes, I was going to say John something 13, but that's the right one. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. So if he wants Mo to know, he will tell Mo what to pray for Karen. But will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is not a gossiper. Amen. People want to know so they can have power over you to discuss you. That's like probably 2 weeks' time sermon. I'm getting there. People want to know so they can discuss you. People want to know so they can have power over you. It gives them a form of control. Amen. There's some things you don't tell everybody. There's some things you don't tell everybody. Right. All it's going to do is delay what God wants to do in your life in any case. It's really good preaching now. Okay? So we're saying that if you face a challenge, we're talking of unhealthy relationships, escaping the people-pleaser trap, okay? You see, because I pray in the Holy Ghost, he will tell me who to pray for, what to pray for. Most times, when I get the request, I already know, because I pray in the Holy Ghost. You see? Hallelujah. Right. So, we're still speaking about the people-pleasing trap, right? And we're speaking about the pit, how to come out. Because else, if you're not going to get this type of teaching, you're not going to get out of the pit. You need truth to get out of the pit. Amen. All right. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. So this Pastor Tommy, Chad, Cornelius was with me. I don't know if I missed, was there. But we went to Pastor Ryland's church. The evening service last year was Linton. Linton had to leave early. We went to Pastor Ryland's church that night, and he said something. He said this. He said, because I thought about this week, about what he'd said. He said to us that there was a family in the early days of his church that they were very poor and they used to give a lot of money. And he said they excelled in giving. And they gave and gave and gave and gave and gave, and then they became exceptionally wealthy. He says not wealthy, exceptionally wealthy. They became very wealthy, but they didn't pay attention to their character. But why? You'd become wealthy because it's a principle. So he said they didn't pay. I don't even remember that. Then he said, the problem is that no matter how much he prays for them, the whole family, every single one, remember that? I think Linton had left early, but Cornelius is there. He said the whole family, every single one, battles sickness in their body. Even the children. And he said, we lay hands, we pray, but we can't. But they still get wealthy. Why? Because you're not paying. You see, your health is your wealth. Your health is your first wealth. So you can have all that money, but you can't get onto a plane. What good is that? The point I'm making is that we need to pay attention to every area of our lives so that we prosper. Beloved, I pray that you be in good health and prosper even as your soul doth prosper. Prosperity is not only financial prosperity, it is total life prosperity. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Right? Let me quote. I mean, listen, you say, yeah, this pastor plays Joseph Prince, he listens to. How does that work? It's like a whole trifle. Yeah, Bill Winston, Joyce Meyer. It's like, it doesn't go, you know, but it goes. So, yeah, let me quote Joyce Meyer. Girls, quoting Joyce Meyer, okay? Probably play this video one of the Wednesdays. Girls, if no other ladies or sisters in your church invites you out for coffee or to their birthday or haven't in the last 6 months, it is hardly because there's anything wrong with them, the sisters, but it's because they can't trust you. They don't feel safe around you. Same goes for you, boys. Don't ask God to change people. Ask God to change you. Girls, if nobody asked you out for coffee in the last 6 months, no other girls, there's nothing wrong with the girls. Something wrong with you. They can't trust you. Don't ask God to change them. Ask God, God change me. Same goes for the boys. Who wants to be around you? Who enjoys being around you? I see a lot of nods, but amen. And I'm trusting it's all for ourselves. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Let's go. All right. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Oh, my God. This word is from the Lord. Yes, it is. But trust in the Lord means safety. Let's leave that up, please, Candace. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Fearing people. Pleasing people. Worried what people will think. Worried what people will say. Being bound up by people's opinion. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. It's a trap. The other translation says it's a snare. It's a trap. Trying to please people, you are always going to come short. Whether it's family members, whether it's friends, whether it's colleagues, whether it's church folk, whether it's your neighbors, fearing people is a dangerous trap. But trusting the Lord means safety. What did we start with our first scripture is? Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. I'd like you to, can you give me that scripture? I don't know if you've got over there today's English version. Do you have it? Let's check. You don't? All right. Can you give it to me in the message, please? But let me tell you, from the English, today's English version, listen to this verse. It says, it is a dangerous trap. That's what it says, Proverbs 29, verse 25. It is a dangerous trap. It's not just a trap. It is a dangerous trap to be concerned about what others think about you. It is a dangerous trap to be concerned about what others think about you, but if you trust in the Lord, you will be safe. Amen. You are pleasing people. You are in a trap. And you need to get out of that trap. Right. Will you kindly put up the message for me, please? Listen to the message translation. The fear of human opinion disables. You know what disable means? You can't function. That's heavy. That's the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. You want to get free from human opinion? Trust in the Lord. Let God be your only source, not just a source, your only source, even not only of provision, but also of comfort, of truth, of wisdom. Let God be your only source of approval, not man. Let God be your only source of approval. You say amen to that. There's nothing wrong with desiring the affection of people in your lives. Now listen, not pleasing people, desiring the affection of people. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with desiring the affection of people in your life. There's nothing wrong with desiring the affection of your spouse, the approval of your spouse. Yeah, I almost used an example now, and his brother would have probably stoned me. And it had nothing to do with him. There's nothing wrong with seeking the approval of your spouse. Let me put it to you this way. If your spouse told you to use deodorant, you know, there's nothing wrong with going to clean yourself out and use deodorant. Get the approval. Else you're going to sleep on the couch, brother. And then you're going to come say the devil's in your marriage. Then you're going to come look for counseling and waste my time, and I could rather be waiting on the Lord for a good word for next week. And I'm just dealing with putting out fires, and we can't get quality like this. So I'd rather get the quality, and you just take the wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with seeking the approval or the affection of people in your lives. Nothing wrong with seeking the if you're, I mean, man, okay, let's talk about me a little bit. I mean, so Kyra and I has this competition when we wake up. And this competition is, we'll do what, like I want to do something in the morning, she wants to do something. So she wants to have this competition of whose breath smells the best in the morning. So I said to her, you got an obvious advantage. You're like 8. Amen. I know you were born with Colgate in your mouth. But us that lives on this earth. So we have this thing that whoever gets a first goes to brush your teeth and come back to lie down. And then the winner wins. But the point I'm making, there's nothing wrong with seeking the approval or the affection of your kid if they tell you, listen, daddy, I want you to, you know, look neater when you fetch me at school. I'm making an example. You know, look decent, look right. Or because you're representing them. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with seeking the affection or the approval of people that, like your spouse, your children, etc., okay? But there's everything destructive about seeking people's approval that dominates you. There's nothing wrong with seeking the approval of your spouse, but don't control and manipulate your spouse. That is a snare for evil. Ouch. All right. The trap of pleasing people, continuing. It causes, number one, the trap of pleasing people, if you're taking notes, this might help you. It causes me to miss God's purpose for my life. And I'm going to give you this, I said that earlier, I'm going to give you the scripture. Please, can you put up 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, please? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But as we have been approved by God, amen, that's a good place to say amen. Amen. You've been approved by God. So as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So, you know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, this gospel that I preach is not to please you, it's to please God. Don't preach the gospel to please sister so-and-so, because sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so will always be unhappy. No matter who preaches. Don't preach the gospel to please any human being. That's what Paul is saying. He said, but as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as to pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Amen. That's why I tell you, why I absolutely love the worship with the youth is because there's just such a boldness there. As it is. I mean, the words I got was purity comes when they say, and boldness and freedom. Because you're not trying to become, I mean, who said because you go to church you have to dress a certain way, look, no, just look neat, respect other people through a tie and so on and so forth. But you don't have to fit into anyone's box. Amen. Because now you're trying to please a system or a person or whatever who doesn't really care, never bought your clothes. Now, come on, the Cape Flats, you must like that one. It's a Beyonce syndrome. It's the clothes I got, I bought it. I depend. Yeah, you know.
Nee, worry about the mensen say what you eat, what niemand het jou kos gekoop nie.
That's it. Six truths to set you free from being controlled by other people. You want that?
Yes.
Let's go. And we're going to round up with this. Six truths to set you free from being controlled by other people. Number one, even God can't please everybody. Some people are praying for rain. Others are praying for a warm day because they're getting married. Who must God please? On Friday night, the other night, some prayed for Spurs like Grant and some prayed for Liverpool like Aiden. Doesn't mean the one's prayer was more powerful than the other one's prayer. God can't please everybody. Amen? All right. Only a fool would try to accomplish something that even God can't do. Why are you trying to please everybody? Even your God can't do that. If everybody likes you, then you got no stand and no firm belief. Ouch. If everybody likes you, then you got no stand and you got no firm belief. Because the moment you take a stand, somebody's going to disapprove. And like Junior said, it's okay. The moment you take a stand, somebody's going to disapprove and that's okay. Not all people will always speak well of you. The only times they do that is at a funeral. So if you want everyone to speak good of you, you must die. As long as you're going to live. Come to church and we'll pray for you. Send your request on a Thursday. We'll pray for you. Amen. That's having a great laugh. Amen. Praise God. I did too when I thought about it. I was going to add, okay, invite them to your party, then they'll also speak good. But you know, they come and they say, oh, the food don't taste so lekker here. So I guess the funeral's the only one then. Amen. All right. You got the free invite and then they still say it, didn't they? But have mercy. Number two. I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. Six truths to set you free from being controlled by other people. I'll deal with two today. I'll deal with four next week. I'll deal with this one and we'll close after this. I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. You don't need that. Why? Happiness is a choice. You don't need anyone's permission nor their approval to be happy. Can you say amen? You can't please everybody, and God doesn't expect you to. So stop trying to please an unpleasable person. Stop trying to please an unpleasable couple. Stop trying to please an unpleasable family. Stop trying to please an unpleasable society. You can't please everybody. So stop trying to do that. Listen, after today's preaching, you're going to feel, you're going to enjoy your life. God, you see, when the team enjoys how they play, they win. Amen. And that's part of getting this kingdom to come. Glory to God. You don't need anyone's approval to be happy. Just do what Elsa and Anna did. Let it go. Amen. Amen. I don't know what I'm talking about. Google Elsa and Anna. Hallelujah. Let's look at the counsel of Jesus. We're speaking about, I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. Candice, kindly put up John 5 verse 41, please. Let's look at Jesus' counsel. You want counsel? Here's Jesus' counsel. I do not receive honor from men. Can you give me that in the NIV, please? John 5, verse 41, NIV. I do not accept glory, approval from human beings. Look at what Jesus does. He says, I don't look for approval from people. Jesus is free from the people-pleasing trap. That's why he could function in the power of God. That's why he could fulfill his purpose. I do not accept glory from human beings. The bigger God is in your life, family, the smaller the opinions, the approvals or the disapprovals of man becomes. When Jesus is number one in your life, he sets you free from the people pleaser addiction. When Jesus Christ is number one in your life, he sets you free from the people pleaser addiction. How I would convert that into a confession to become my reality is I would say something like this. Father God, I thank you that Jesus Christ is number one in my life, and therefore I've become free from the addiction to please any human being above my God. That's a way to you can go and pray this week. Jesus sets us free from the... You see, let me say this. When you do it the way that I'm speaking this morning and you seek God's approval first, you know what happened? Then man will approve of you automatically. Isn't it? Then you will find favor with God and man. But you're trying to please and please and please and please and running yourself crazy, and God is... You heard the first scripture, God's absent from that. And you only got man's approval. When you please God first, he knows how to move on that boss's heart. He knows how to move on that person's heart. He knows. He knows. He knows. Seek him first. He knows. He knows how to open the doors. He knows. I'd rather God open a door, because when the door is open that God opened, no man can shut it. You open the door, you're responsible to keep that door open. You wear yourself out trying to do that. Let God open the doors. Jesus Christ, we see in this scripture, John 5:41, I do not accept glory from human beings. Jesus Christ sets you and I free from the expectation of others. When you and I are set free from the people pleaser trap, we become free to be whom God designed us to be. When you and I are set free from the people pleaser trap, we become free to be whom God designed us to be. And you know who God designed us to be? Happy, joyful, blessed, favored. That's who God designed us to be. We only live in that design when we please him first. And when we get free from seeking the approval of man. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can do so this morning. Come to Jesus, because that's the only way you're going to have eternal life, right? If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, don't do life without him. It's not worth it. It's a battle. It's a struggle. Life without Jesus is a real struggle. With Jesus, you're transformed into a new kingdom. You come into his family. You come to him and he helps you get yourself together. But you can't do it without him. It's almost impossible. And if you once walked with God and you walked away, you must come back to God. Jesus said you must be born again. The only way you're going to get to... You see, there's no right or wrong answer. You're either born again or you're not. If you're not born again, if you've never accepted Jesus in your heart as your Lord and your Savior, repented of your sins, asked him to come into your heart, ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. If you've never ever done that, then you must do that. Jesus said you must be born again, because that way you'll receive eternal life. Now, while you heard this word and you say, listen, I want to be a God pleaser in my life, and I just want to look to God. And the first way to please God is to become part of His family, and to be part of His family, you become born again. So we're not born again. I'd like to pray for you. Would you like to just put up your hand so I can see who you are, and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to come into the family of God. Is there someone here this morning that says, I want to do life with Jesus Christ? Well, I once walked with God. I walked away, and I want to come back to Him. Can you put up your hand so I can pray for you? Or you may say, well, you know, I just want to start this relationship with God, and I just need some prayer to start this meaningful relationship. Is there someone here that says, that's me? All right, wonderful. We've made the call, and we thank God. I pray that all of us are saved. Amen. I'd like to pray for you, and then we're going to close our service. We kindly stand to our feet. I'll pray for you. And our leader team, we have some responsibilities that we function with after church, so if we could kind of attend to our functions, and then just after 10 minutes, if we could just meet with me for 10 minutes more, please, after the service. So just first do what we do and serve the people of God, and after 10 minutes, we just want to meet. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to pray for you this week that before I close with a blessing and speak the blessing over your life, I want to pray that your relationships are healthy relationships. I want to pray that relationships that draws and takes away from your life, that adds no value, that really, really is cancerous to your spirit, I want to pray that those relationships have no part of you. Because all they're going to do is they're going to rob God's plan for your life. I want to pray for you, your household, that new wine comes into your lives. So we have to have new wineskins, so new wine can come. I also want to pray this morning that this is what I prayed before I came to church, and I want to pray for you. Because this thing, this number six keeps, and if I had the time, I would have talked on that today. But this number six keeps, and that God said, speak over the people. And I remember Dr. Bill Winston saying to me, and I asked him for counsel about the church and so on. And he said one of the greatest things you can do besides getting the lost saved and preaching faith to people, even before preaching faith to people, he says, is you bless the people. Then he used the words, he says, you create, you make. I said, well, how can we create? He says, no, God administers blessing through the priest. You raise your hands, he told Aaron, this is how you bless the people, by saying. You say it and you pronounce it on the people. That's what comes to pass. And I believe that. So scripture says that. But what I want to do is I want to pray that on the relationships for your life. I want to pray that difficult things are made easy. Last week, was it last week, 2 weeks, two weeks ago, Stacey and Chad were faced with some wonderful onslaught wonderful resistance in their business. Wonderful. Amen. Why wonderful? Because it gives God the opportunity to show Himself strong. And it looked like a very big mountain. But you know what? It got solved in 5 minutes with so much favor. That's called difficult things made easy. I want to pray that for you today. I pray that this morning for the whole church, for all of our partners. I pray that for you. The difficult things are made easy this coming week. Amen. I want to pray that so that the kingdom and the power and the glory of God comes to pass in your life. I want to pray that so that when we enter the second part of 2019, starting this Tuesday, we're in part two of the year, and we're taking communion next week, and we have a covenant with God, that God is not a man that He should lie. That you're not going to be. I looked at that article on Friday and I said, God, none of our partners will be part of that statistic. Done in Jesus' name. Amen. If you receive that prayer, you receive this prayer, then just maybe stretch your hand if that helps you, or just you know, whatever. You don't have to. It's not a religious thing, but whichever way you say, and so I'm in agreement, and I, you know, even hold your hands like that, it's fine. But just say, even say, so I receive that, and I'll pray that for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you this morning that you've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. You said the Holy Spirit will show us all things, and we'll know all things and all truth, and you'll show us things to come. And Father, I thank you this morning for your sweet presence that is here. I thank you that your gentle presence confirms your word, O God, that is spoken in authority and in power to help us transform and become the people of God in this earth day by day. Father, I pray for our partners, our friends, families, everyone that's here, O God, our partners who's traveling. I pray today, O God, that unhealthy relationships breaks off their lives. That relationships that the enemy has placed as parasites to just draw from your people and break them off and break them down and eat at them. And I pray those relationships, O God, that they just become silent. And I pray, Father, that the godly relationships you've given every one of us, help us to nurture and respect them. Help us to love them. Help us to sow seeds that makes this of love that makes these relationships blossom and grow, because they are part of our life relationships. Help us to see that, to acknowledge that, and to nurture them, oh God. And Lord, we pray that the relationships that our old skins have held us away from, business relationships, family relationships, then transform us, oh God, by the renewing of our minds, and help us to renew our minds according to your word, and transform us, oh God, that we have new skins for new wine, for newness, for freshness. Thank you for a time of refreshing in your presence, oh God. Father, I pray this week that difficult things are made easy, oh God. Redeem the time for us, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that the blessing causes us to operate and live our lives and function without painful toil and sorrow. I pray, oh God, help us. Help every one of us this week, oh God, to function without sorrow and toil. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us to love like you, O God. Teach us to love like you, Jesus. Father, I pray for renewed strength to everyone. As someone, and I know exactly what it is I'm going to say, but the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell someone, so I make it broader so no one tries to figure you out, but because it's none of their business, but God wants to say it publicly, that there's someone, your spouse or partner is not here today. But the Lord said he is so mindful of your heart this morning. And he says, you are serving me too. In days to come, you will serve me from. Amen. So, Father, we say thank you. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your wonderful love, and your mercies. Command your blessing and favor over us. Thank you that everything we touch this week, everything we put our hands to, our work, our dream, our plans, everything we put our hands to, our businesses, our paperwork, our administration, our computers, invoices, tenders, everything that we put our hands to, thank you, it prospers. because we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, money won't fail us because our money has been redeemed through the tithe. Thank you, scarcity has got no part in our lives because our giving has procured generosity. So everything we touch, it's anointed to grow this week. And thank you that every place the soles of our feet tread upon, we are possessing our possessions. And we always declare, Jesus is Lord. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Let's continue to form good, godly relationships. Amen.
This is the living word of God, and we trust that you have been empowered, inspired, and blessed, and that it will impact your life and increase your faith to live your best life now. For more, join us at our Sunday morning worship services at 9 a.m., our additional monthly Sunday service at 6 p.m., our daily breakfast for winners on our Facebook page, New Birth Winners Church, on Twitter, at NewBirthWCZA, on Instagram, NewBirthWC, and our website, www.newbirth.co.za. Remember, keep walking by faith.